In your Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, written by Moses, the man of God. If any of you are looking for a good book on the Mosaic authorship of the Pentateuch, there are two things that I would recommend to you. The first is the introduction to the Old Testament, written by Dr. Edward Joseph Young, E.J. Young, is how he's known in popular Reformed circles. Formerly professor of Old Testament at Westminster Theological Seminary back in the middle of the 20th century. Dr. Young has done great work on the Pentateuch, especially in that book, Introduction to the Old Testament. Then there's another book that I would also recommend, a contemporary of Dr. Young's, also a fellow professor of Old Testament at Westminster, a man by the name of Oswald T. Allis, A-L-L-I-S. The book that he wrote is called, interestingly enough, The Five Books of Moses. Kind of advertising, kind of giving away his bias at the front there, right? The Five Books of Moses. Back in the days when the Mosaic authorship of the Pentateuch was particularly under attack, these two giants rose up to defend the Orthodox faith. And they're worthy to be read even today. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived, after he begat Jared, 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived, after he begat Enoch, 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Excuse me. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he begat Lamech, 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son, and called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. I'm going to go over in time. There's a lot to cover here. First of all, we have the Hebrew word toldot at the beginning of chapter 5. Toldot means this is the book of the generations of, or this is the story of. We're starting a new heading, as we learned that phrase last week, so now we see it here. We're telling a new story. May I say, it ought to be passing strange to us. We ought to sit up and take notice that we have a line of Cain and a line of not Seth, but Adam. In other words, when we begin to tell the story here, we tell the story from Adam. This is a good witness to us that Adam was most likely a believer. We're going to talk about the believing line here. Cain, the unbelieving line. Further, we're going to meet a character in this line, and his name is going to be Enoch. He is called the seventh from Adam. Notice that although Lamech the less, that we read about last week, who took to himself the two wives and all of the indulgence, notice he is not known as the seventh from Adam. Enoch is known as the seventh from Adam. Although they were both the seventh from Adam, actually, if you take a look at the genealogy, Lamech the less is the sixth from Cain. But Enoch is the seventh from Adam. They are indeed parallel to one another in the amount of generations in the world, firstborn to firstborn to firstborn, if we assume that all these names are firstborn names. But he is not known as the seventh from Adam, Lamech. He's known rather as the sixth from Cain. Six is the number of a man. So while Cain and his descendants are overbuilding Man City, we have seen that Adam and his descendants are indeed involved in the city of God. We saw at the end of the last chapter that during the days of Enos, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so this line then is the tracing out of the godly line, and it is eminently fitting that the seventh from Adam, Enoch, does not die, but rather is taken to heaven without death in testimony to the resurrection, which is exactly what Jude will say about him when he says, "And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, I saw the Lord coming with 10,000s of his thousands to execute judgment upon all those wicked." In other words, he spoke of the resurrection. So, Enoch then is one who witnesses to the resurrection of the body, which is part of that fullness of redemption, right? And Jude makes that very clear to us. Now, I know that there are people that say that Jude is citing from this apocryphal source. Certainly he is. But may I say it this way? Jude is citing that apocryphal source under the inspiration of the Spirit. We don't say then that the whole of that apocryphal source was inspired, but the part that Jude cited is. So very clearly then, Jude has reached back all the way to this man, Enoch, who witnessed of the resurrection. And he is the seventh from Adam, and Lamech the less, although if you pencil out the generations from Adam, you know, then you have Cain and Seth. Notice that when we're talking about Enoch, it reaches all the way back up to Adam. But when we're talking about Lamech, it only goes so far as Cain. Because the sons of Cain are no longer the sons of Adam in that sense. Adam's line, these humanities are now separated humanities. And we're going to see in the next chapter, Lord willing, what happens when you mix the separated humanities. Very important stuff. This will help us to understand what's going on in Genesis chapter 6, which will help us in turn then to understand the flood. Okay, so we have this record. The only other thing that I'd like to point out in this first section here is that each of these men died. And this is what I think it means when it says that Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. I think it would be an overblowing, an overemphasis of verse 3 there to say that man is no longer in the image of God. He is. Genesis 9:6 makes that very clear. And then also James will tell us that in his discourse on the tongue, won't he? With it, we bless God and curse men who are created in the similitude of God. So Old and New Testament, we continue to witness that mankind is that created image of God. We still have that. And I want to say it this way. There are three different humanities being spoken of here. The first humanity is the line of Cain, man city, dead. The second is the sons of Adam, and still born into this world after that death that Adam has procured for them and in need of redemption. And then third, those redeemed of the world. So there are two humanities in that visible sense, but there are truly three humanities if we would consider mankind in the theological sense here. Because when we hear that all of Adam's descendants, like him, died, we are left with something else that must enter into mankind. And this is where Enoch comes in. It doesn't say that Enoch died. It said God took him. And so he is a witness to that third form of humanity that will enjoy the resurrection at the end of days. And that's why Jude cites him as he does. Okay, does that make sense out of that first set there? Probably more than you bargained for, I know. All right, so then we have these various names. Some of the names are very interesting. Enos, there in verse 6. That's the Hebrew word Enosh or Anosh. And that's a way of saying mankind. Okay? Then there's Enoch. And Enoch means something more like designated. Right? So we have the general humanity in the line of Adam, but we have the designated. And so Enoch stands, as you will, in the typology of his name, and then in being drawn up to heaven before he died. He is a type of Christ in that way, or a type of redeemed humanity through Christ Jesus. Okay, so now we have this other name here. There is a reason why Methuselah is the oldest man in the Bible. You say, well, obviously, God said he's going to be the oldest man. Well, that's true. That's true. But there's something beyond that I want to make you known or make known to you. And that is that the name Methuselah means at his death, it comes. At his death, it comes. What comes? The flood. Why is Methuselah the oldest man in the world? He's the oldest man in the world as a witness to the long suffering of God as he waited in the days when the ark was building. So Methuselah then becomes, by his name, a witness to the long suffering of God. And then we want to talk about Lamech the Greater. And he lived 777 years. Well, there has to be some sort of numeric typology in that. He's got something to teach us. And he does. He has something to teach us in that he is a covenant man of hope. And so he takes his son that is born to him and he names him Rest. That's what Noah means. Rest. And why rest? Well, he doesn't leave us to wonder about that, does he? Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Rest, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." He's looking for the redemption from the curse. And he thinks that Noah might be the one to bring it. Just like Eve before him thought that first Cain and then Seth might bring it. No, the Lord had a much longer plan, but that didn't stop the hope of his people. What an amazing thing for these folks to cleave to that covenant after what has to be now thousands upon thousands of years. And yet, here they cleave to the promise of the curse being removed one day through the promised seed. And so they believed that, and they kept that hope alive among these descendants of Adam. What are the descendants of Cain doing? "We're happy right here. Let's build up a city. Let's make instruments. Let's have entertainments. Let's do all this other stuff that men do." What are these people doing? They're looking for the release from the curse. They're looking for the gospel. They're looking to the future in hope. Whereas Cain and his descendants have said, "We may as well make the most of it here." You see the difference? It's a wide difference once we draw it out. Then in chapter 6, this difference becomes even more palpable, and as we move into the greater chapters after that. So then Noah was 500 years old, and he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so notice that we have Noah being singled out or specialized from the rest because all the others were said to have sons and daughters. But the three sons of Noah are mentioned specifically because they will all play in to this story of hope and redemption to come in subsequent chapters. Thus ends the reading then of Genesis chapter 5. Let's stand and